This is Geek News Central. My name is Todd Cochran, coming to you from the new media production studio designed by Audimute.com in Coldwater, Michigan. The lead stories are we the aliens in the UFOs visiting Earth? Should artificial intelligence be regulated? Facial recognition is starting to get some negative attention. And do you have Frontier as a phone or internet service provider? Well, this is going to not come as any surprise to you. They may file for bankruptcy. I want to welcome you to episode 1419 of the Geek News Central podcast for Monday, January 20. This show is sponsored in part by GoDaddy.com and listeners just like you. Great deals from GoDaddy can be found at GeekNewsCentral.com/GoDaddy. You can support this show today at GeekNewsCentral.com/insider. We're live. Once again, we're on Facebook. We're live on YouTube, Twitch, Twitter, just about everywhere you can be. If you're with us on Facebook, make sure you say hello. Hello, Ken and Steve and Steven. Steve, how's it going over there? Enjoying the cold weather? So anyway, welcome everyone to the show. I got a great, great lineup for you tonight. And of course, if you are a new listener, we want to make sure you get over to geeknewscentral.com. And when you're on the website, it's really, really simple. All you got to do is subscribe to the podcast. Just follow the directions on the website. It says subscribe to podcast. Let's see if I can hit the right button. There's links there for Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Spotify, TuneIn, Stitcher by email, or just a standard RSS feed. Get connected to the show. You'll never miss a single episode if you're subscribed to the podcast. That's the most important part. We want you to get subscribed to the show. And of course, when you're on the website, you can definitely do the sign up for the newsletter as well. The newsletter contains everything I'm going to talk about during the show today. You can join one of our chat rooms too. We're on Slack in a variety of different locations as well. We're on geeknews.chat. We're on Discord. All those links are being in the show notes at geeknewscentral.com. If you want to be in the Slack channel, all you got to do is drop me an email. It's a piece of cake, geeknews@gmail.com, geeknews@gmail.com. For those of you who are watching the live stream, that was pretty slick. I wasn't prepared to put that lower third up. I had to make a change over here from the new media show, but I saved the day. For those of you that are not watching, you could care less. But anyway, hey, you can follow me on Twitter at Geek News as well. And that way you can stay connected to me and the show. So you can listen to the show on blueberry.com, or you can listen on your smart device by saying the magic word to get that device's attention and say, play the podcast, Geek News Central. You can, again, you can follow me on Facebook. And of course, all of our shows are available that we partner with are available at geeknewscentral.com, whether it be the GNC Week in Review, the Gadget Professor, the Pro Gear Site, the New Media Show, and the Podcast Legend Show. If you want to pick up Ohana gear, get that at cafepress.com/Ohana Store. As you can tell, I'm a little off tonight. But anyway, hey, we are supported by the longest running continuous sponsor of a podcast. That's our good friends at GoDaddy.com. We want you to save money. I've got five deals for you. 30% off on GoDaddy products and services. Yes, 30% off or a $499.com. And really, that's the deal. That's the deal to get you started. Or a $1 a month economy hosting for the first year includes a free domain, $12. Or a $1 a month managed WordPress hosting for the first year. Again, a free domain. Get you started for $12 in that first year. Or a free trial of GoDaddy website builder, your choice of personal business or business plus plans. That's a 1 month deal. All my promo codes, we want you to use them. We want you to click on them. We want you to copy them. So when you get to checkout at GoDaddy, guess what? You can lock in savings that you're only going to find here at Geek News Central. These remain the best codes you can use over at GoDaddy. 30% off new product purchases. You're not going to find that. That's here. Share that code with your friends, family members, people that you know. Don't post it on the bathroom wall. because I always talk bad about people that do that kind of stuff. But if you have a public bulletin board, feel free to post this on your public bulletin board. Let people know about my GoDaddy products and services and the deals, and they can save. And if you are looking to get started online, GoDaddy's a place to go. And I want to thank GoDaddy for being a longtime sponsor here and their ongoing support of this show. Thank you so much. Hey, Ken. Hey, Lee. Welcome to the show. Thanks for hanging out with me a little bit tonight. And I'm going to tell you, it's cold. I'm not really used to this kind of cold. My blood is still Hawaii thin. You know, I came in the office this morning. I had a real heavy winter coat, stocking cap, gloves on. And then I seen some dude walk into the business next door wearing a t-shirt and shorts. And he's looking at me. I'm looking at him and I'm like, oh man, that guy has spent some time in the Arctic. Because I think it was 9 this morning when I came into the office. And then but cranked the heat up in here. My gas bill's going up. But I refuse to be cold. And definitely it was. But so here's what's happened. Friday, I was in Columbus, and I busted out there about 2 o'clock. Got into Southern Michigan here about 5. Snow didn't start. I beat the snow in, but about 7, the flurry started coming. Just hung out. Didn't really do anything. And then Saturday, kind of the same type of deal. We didn't have a new media show Saturday morning. So it was really kind of a kickback day for me. But I went to a fundraiser Saturday night. My sister and mom and her husband, my sister and her husband and my mom and me went to a Rotary fundraiser. And it's one of those where you buy a ticket and then they draw down to the last ticket and then someone wins $5,000. I got close. I was in the last 40. My sister was in the last, she missed being in the top 5 by 2. She had a ticket that went all the way to the top 7 and got drawn out. I was like, man, she missed $1,000 by 2. The winner took home $5,000. But anyway, we had fun, had a nice meal, talked with some people. It was a good networking thing and for a good cause. So Saturday night was the fundraiser, and then New Media Show was on Sunday. We had a great New Media Show. We had Dan Franks, president of Podcast Movement, talking about the upcoming Podcast Movement evolutions. And then today, full work day here. And I started work this morning at 8 and took about 15 minutes to eat some lunch and put my head down and had a bunch of meetings. And the next thing I know, it's like 5:30, and I'm like, whoa, where did the day go? And it's just one of those days. Lots of time on one-on-one meetings with podcasters today. It was interesting hearing some of our customers' challenges and then trying to get them squared away. So it just continues to be an ongoing beat the bushes and do the things I have to do here. So anyway, but it's good to be back in the studio. Good to be back in the loft, and at least for this week. I'm here all this week, and then I'm back in Columbus next week. 2 shows in Columbus next week. And then really things get kind of nuts. I'm looking at the calendar here. So what day do I leave for LA? I'm down there all next week. Oh, so I think, okay, so I'm here all the way through. There's going to be regular shows except for the ones, 2 shows down in Columbus, all the way through the 10th of February. And then on the 12th, I fly out to Los Angeles, and I'm there through the 16th. I come back to Michigan. I'm here until the 19th, and I fly to Houston. So I'm going to be in Houston the weekend of the 20th through the 23rd. Then I'm back for just a week, and then down to Orlando for PodFest. So, anyway. Regular shows all the way through the 10th of February. I don't have to worry about that. It's just a regular schedule. And, but anyway, that's what's going on. So, everyone, thanks for tuning in to the show tonight. We've got a lot of stuff to go through. And, Kent Lee says, I'm about 10 miles from you. I agree. Isn't this fun? Lee, where are you at? Where exactly are you at? And then Dan thinks, good. Hey, glad everything sounded well tonight on the show, on the stream. Okay, so let's go ahead and get into the stack of stuff that I have. And by the way, I posted, if you haven't ever looked at the article, and I haven't done everything in the post yet, but if you go to geekandcentral.com/studio, there's a link there that takes you to basically a Google Photos page that has all pictures of the studio. I took a bunch of stuff today, uploaded it, updated that one link. But other than that, no other changes here in the studio. All right, so first article up is in space.com. Are the aliens, yes, the aliens that are visiting us, and you all have heard the two UFO stories I have, and I have witnesses on both that are still alive, that haven't been whacked or run off the side of the road or anything like that. Matter of fact, one story that's got a very high number of trustworthy people that I served with in the Navy. But yes, two UFO stories. And if you've been around here for a while, you've heard them. But the newest theory is the UFOs may be piloted by time-traveling humans. Okay. So, time-traveling humans. Someone, it's just like, okay, Back to the Future type of deal. Do we really think it's time traveling humans? I like space dramas. I like sci-fi, but that one's a stretch. Okay. That one is really a stretch. It really, really is. But I thought it was a good one. And hey, this guy says, I went in about an unorthodox way. You had a multidisciplinary approach using big words, multidisciplinary approach to determine if the UFOs are actually piloted by humans. These purported visitors are called extra temporestrials. So, anyway, hey, but how about that Navy video that made some news here recently that the Navy said they weren't going to release, but they had a similar video that was, you know, of the same length. The Navy one was classified, and the one that was publicly had been, you know, snuck out by someone. But anyway, all I can say is a moving orb. Not that I've never seen a moving orb before, if any of you have followed this show. Go read this New York Times article. Hundreds of agencies are using a system which scrape billions of photos from the internet. Don't say it isn't so. You know, facial recognition, I think we all can agree. Lee, I think Lake Orion's farther than 10 minutes from me. I don't know where that's actually at. You know, we've been talking about facial recognition on this show for, what, a couple of years, 3, 4, 5 years, maybe? How they're using in airports, how the Chinese have got very sophisticated systems. No one cares about facial recognition, right? Well, there's a company called Clearview AI that's been investigated by the New York Times. And they have revealed that this database is made up of billions of images scraped from millions of sites, including Facebook, YouTube, Venmo. The Times say that the Clearview AI work could end privacy, as we don't have any privacy. And the piece is worth reading in its entirety. If you haven't been to the New York Times more than 5 times in the last month, you can actually read this article before it gets put behind the firewall. And but you have to give credit where credit's due. They're making a product. They're scraping publicly available stuff. And they have 3 billion images scraped from the internet. Probably violated websites. But who's going to catch them, right? But the New York Times says the system has already helped police solve crimes, including shoplifting, identity theft, credit fraud, murder, and child sexual exploitation. In one instance, Indiana State Police were able to solve a case within 20 minutes by using the app. We all know that facial recognition algorithms, did I say that right to my pundits out there, can carry false positive and can incriminate the wrong people. We've seen this happen before with people being arrested time and time and time again before the person's proved they aren't who they appear to be. And they're thinking this company might try to go public. Now, here's something I find that is interesting. The Times journalist investigating the piece was having police search for her face as part of her story. While the company was dodging me, it was also monitoring me. At my request, a number of police officers had run my photo through the Clearview app. They soon received phone calls from the company representative asking if they were talking to the media. So a sign that Clearview has the ability, and in this case, the appetite to monitor whom law enforcement is searching for. This is the concerning case. Now, let me say that again. Kashmir Hill, the Times journalist, by cooperation of the police department, was having police search for her face in the app. Yet, the Clearview company called the law enforcement agency involved and asked if they were monitoring or talking to her. This is an issue. Police departments, over 600 of them, have already signed up. One expert quoted by the Times said that the amount of money involved with these systems means that they need to be banned before the abuse of them becomes much more widespread. They're not going to be banned. There's not a chance. Not a chance that it's going to be banned. Impossible. They're not going to ban this. But as you're driving down the road and you see a little camera on a light pole or on a traffic stoplight, your picture is being taken and you're being registered in these databases. We all can't go around wearing horse head masks, right? It's not going to be able to do it. So, like, once again, if you don't like this, if you don't like this tracking, guess what you have to do? Call your state representative that is in your district and start pointing to articles like this and start referring to this stuff. You have to become activists if you want this technology to be curtailed. Otherwise, it's going to run around unfettered and they're going to have unlimited access to it. Now, let me go a step further. Let us say the Clearview company goes public and puts an app online that allows you to download it. And you can point that app at anybody you see and take a picture of them and have the information about the person that you've just taken a picture of. Possible? Yes. Even being talked about. How would you, you know, today you can, let's be frank. You can still take, there's plenty of sites out there where you can take a picture of someone or You take my picture right now on this show. We're doing live, or come do the, those of you listening, load the video up, take a picture of me, do a snap, and then just do some simple Google searching and you will be able to take that photo and match me real easily. No sweat. Gonna be no problem finding out who I am through publicly available stuff today. But up to now, there hasn't been an app for that. But there's an app for that coming. And maybe there is an app for that. I just don't know it. So if you think already, if you put anything online, you put a kid's birthday party on where your picture's in it. Matter of fact, when I was on Google Photos today, it asked me a question. It says, do you want us to use certain technology? And it showed 8 people. And they were all friends of mine that were in pictures that I had taken. Said, choose your photo so we can identify you. I opted out. Now, Google already knows who I am because it identifies me. Facebook knows who I am because it identifies me. says, I think this is. So this is nothing new for all of us, right? So what say you? Is there nothing we can do? Or do you feel it's time to go to your state legislature and start complaining about this and other privacy issues? Lee says, wouldn't you say the same facial recognition tracking and collection is happening via Apple? Well, I'm surely unlocking my phone via Apple. For sure, take a picture of my face and it unlocks my phone and it sees the face. Now, are they using anything else for that? One can't really know, you know? So I guess we'll see where this leads. But yeah, it's already happening. But the question is, how far do you want it to go? Switching topics here, and really isn't too much of a topic change, but Google CEO Sundar Pichai, am I saying his last name right? Pichai calls for sensible regulation of artificial intelligence. He says, principles that remain on paper are meaningless. So AI principles, what they're talking about is meaningless. So he's calling on the government to be able to do some regulation of artificial intelligence. After laying out his relationship with technology and offering a few examples where innovation has unintended negative consequences, he made the case that while AI is powerful and useful, we must balance its potential harms with social opportunities. Of course, this call for balance leaves some questions about how tight a regulation he is talking about. He doesn't specifically rebuff the White House's recent calls for a light touch, nor does he suggest the EU's more comprehensive proposals go too far. Instead, he makes clear that having the international community come to an agreement on regulatory issues is key, then seems to suggest that Alphabet's own internal handling of AI could serve as a guideline. Well, here's what I'm going to straight up tell you. And this is what we have to realize. China could give a crap about any type of regulation on artificial intelligence. They're going to build it out to do what they want it to do, and they are not going to be constrained in any way. When does that have an impact? 5 years? 10 years? Now? What do you think? Where do you think the AI development is? I think it's in early, very early days, right? But programmatically, they're starting to do some stuff. Machines are not thinking by themselves realistically yet. They're definitely not self-aware. But what happens when they are? And we in the United States and other responsible countries agree to regulations for artificial intelligence, and yet you have China, who could give two craps and all they want to do is dominate the world. How, and you know, lays out what their plan is over the next 50 years. We know what they want to do. Do you think they're going to be constrained? One point that he makes is undeniable, though, is that principles that remain on paper are meaningless. There's little question at this point that AI needs to be regulated, but just as important as codifying those rules is having a regulatory body with authority and power to enforce them. You can't enforce anything now in many countries. What's going to stop this? He says, if there are not significant consequences for companies to flaunt the rules or bad actors to abuse those tools, then they make little difference. I think we've already jumped the shark. I think it means nothing. I think it means absolutely nothing. I think we're well past this, because you're going to have, again, countries and organizations that are going to just do what they want to do. So he may have this, you know, trying to be politically correct and calling for sensible regulation of AI, but hey, come on. You know, my phone is in the other room, but our phones combined with AI and everything else, you know, please. It's a changing world. So either we dominate with it or we get left behind. And I'd prefer to dominate and hopefully have a few people that have some conscience about what they're developing and try to put internal constraints on stuff. Or Maybe it's Terminator time, right? Frontier Communications. Oh, I'm sure I say those two words, and I'm sure many of you just shudder, swear underneath your breath. I know a number of you do not like this telco. We know that Frontier is probably customer service is the worst probably in the country. My mom still has a landline, and it's serviced by Frontier. And I don't know why. Matter of fact, Mom, if you're watching, why do we still have the dial-in line? Maybe it's time to cancel that thing. But, you know, Frontier. And I laugh every time I talk about these folks. They're an ISP in 29 states, and they're going to file for bankruptcy. And we know that Frontier subscribers suffer from the worst customer service, in my opinion, and failing networks anywhere. They went up and bought lots of copper for, you know, nickels on the dollar, you know, really pennies on the dollar years ago. And they picked them up from companies that knew that business had long sailed. Matter of fact, those companies that used to own that copper are now in the mobile business, right? And Frontier's been losing customers and reducing its staff. Its residential company's base has dropped from 4.15 million to 3.81 in 12 months, including a loss of 90,000 customers in the most recent quarter. Also in that 12-month period, Frontier's business customer base declined from 422,000 to 381,000. And Frontier had 19,132 employees, down from 21,000 a year earlier. If you work for Frontier, it's time to look for a job. But if you have Frontier, what do you say? How's it going with them? And be aware, they are getting ready to file for bankruptcy. One of the things I saw at CES was and I posted a picture of it on our live stream. And I don't think I don't think our live blog was as good this year as it has been in the past. We just didn't get the number of pictures that we could have. But Uber was partnered with Hyundai, and they're planning to develop air taxis. And what they showed off was pretty remarkable. They had a drone, essentially, a drone that would carry people, hung from the roof in the North Hall at Las Vegas Convention Center. And I just kind of looked at that, and I thought, wow, and electric powered. But the joint announcement at this year's CES by Uber Elevate and Hyundai said that the companies will partner to develop Uber Air taxis for a future aerial rideshare program. But just importantly, it's corporate messaging. At the crux of the announcement is Hyundai's reputation as an automotive OEM with a perceived ability to leverage economies of scale for an urban air mobility, UAM, market to emerge at any sort of scale. Uber and industry observers believe that the hundreds of thousands of four-passenger electric VTOL, vertical takeoff and landing aircraft, will have to be built. Their numbers, along with theoretically cheap eVTOL operating costs, are the key to getting the cost per seat at or near the level of ground transportation. I'm going to be honest with you. If anywhere eVTOL would work, and I would take if it was the cost of ground transportation, would be in Hawaii. And I'm not living there, but talked about it often. I wish I had a helicopter, you know. The traffic was just horrible. But anyway, they're going to come up with these taxis. And I'm sure they're not going to be probably cost effective for the average person in the United States, at least in the beginning. But I sure'd like to have one of these in the backyard in Honolulu to fly wherever I need to go. The problem is, you know, first of all, you need the space to land and take off. You know, that's the issue, right? Probably have to go to a drive to a central location where you want to get on one of these. Then you got to park, or maybe just Uber over, get in it, fly to where you're going, then Uber out. By the end of the day, you've spent a lot of money. So I don't know. We'll see. But anyway, we'll see where this goes with this tech. Tesla is saying that its unintended acceleration claims, and these were just come out recently, are completely false. It claims this is a plot by short sellers to undermine the company. And they rejected the notion that its cars are prone to unintended acceleration. In a blog post, the EV maker claimed that the petition described an unexpected acceleration was completely false and the product of a Tesla short seller hoping to make a quick buck. Every case where Tesla had a car data showed that the car worked as intended. Moreover, Tesla claims that its system was designed to avoid these problems. All its models have two pedal position sensors, and any errors defaults to shutting off motor torque. It even uses autopilot sensors to catch potential pedal misuse and to cut torque to prevent accident. The firm added it was transparent with the NHTSA and regularly shared complaints of unintended acceleration with the agency. It shared the majority of the complaints from the petition and found no faults. So we'll see where this goes. But someone out there is making some bold claims that could have a negative impact on the folks at negative impact on Tesla stock. All right, I didn't get to watch the SpaceX event. I completely forgot about it. Did anyone watch SpaceX blow up a rocket? I didn't even see the news of the actual test, if it went down or how it went. How'd we miss that, Kirk? Let me load in the SpaceX website now to see if we can get some news. And did it go well? there's a replay, so must be it went well. Well, anyway, I will watch the replay later. But I guess they didn't blow anything up, so it must have went well. Discovery shows that an early galaxy, this is in Space News, in Gadget. Early galaxies could have had very short lives. A galaxy was dying about 1.5 billion years after the Big Bang. They say you'd think that galaxies from the young universe would still be thriving, but they say this is not necessarily the case. Researchers at the Niels Bohr Institute and National Observatory of Japan discovered the farthest known dying galaxy, that is, with the greatest suppressed star formation known to date, at about 12 billion light years away. In other words, it was already waning roughly 1.5 billion years after the Big Bang. The first galaxy had come into being about a billion years earlier. The team used a combination of telescope systems to measure the motion of stars and learned that the galaxy core was nearly fully formed. So they basically say that the young ones didn't last long. Whatever that ends up meaning for the rest of us, we will never know. The big game. The big game 2020 live stream. So if you want to watch Super Bowl 2020, and you know, I'd be honest with you, I didn't even really realize the Super Bowl was close except for the news articles. And I did catch my brother-in-law was watching the Kansas City Titans game, I think, whoever the Tennessee Titans game they're playing. And I did see that the Kansas City won. And then I had a buddy that's in California. He's a big Green Bay fan. And I texted him and told him, hey, good luck to Green Bay. And I saw something today that looked like San Francisco whipped up on Green Bay. So I guess that's the two teams playing the Super Bowl. So if you want to watch the game, if you want to live stream it, we've got all the ways to do that. And there's a variety of ways. Hulu TV, Sling TV, YouTube TV, AT&T Now. If you have Fox and the Fox Sports website, you can watch that. Where else? If you're in the UK, BBC One will have it. If you're in Canada, you can get it via CTV/TSN for live streaming. But anyway, link will be up in the show notes. I guess the game is 2 weeks from what, Sunday? Let me look at the calendar here. Yeah, I believe February, Groundhog Day. So anyway, Super Bowl's on Groundhog Day. If you want to watch online, you can. Of course, today is Martin Luther King Day. So Google had a doodle on its website spotlighting Martin Luther King Jr.'s message of unity. So some of you that were federal workers had the day off today, and the rest of everyone else worked. So happy Monday tomorrow for the federal workers and those that were off school and so forth. Hey, there's a new texting scam out there. It disguises itself as a FedEx tracking notification. So if you think you're getting a, if you're not getting a package and you get a text from FedEx and you think it's FedEx, don't be careful to click it. The text will include a link that takes you to a fake Amazon page offering a free reward for taking a survey. It'll ask you for your credit card info to pay for shipping and automatically sign you up to receive a product each month and charge you $98.95. So it's all fake. And basically, what are they selling? Looks like they're trying to promote some sort of CBD type of oil, CBD product. But total scam, okay? So be careful. So you would get suspicious if you clicked on a FedEx notification and were taken to an Amazon page. Would that kind of like set off alarm bells? Warn the elderly. Huawei has signed a deal with TomTom for Google Maps alternative, another step away from stock Android ecosystem. So Huawei are trying to unleash themselves or from Google. I'm not surprised. But Huawei is building a full-fledged mapping system known as MapKit. That software would be meant for app developers and could use data from the Russian tech giant Yandex and Huawei's own telecom base stations. So the TomTom deal is a pretty good one. And congratulations to the TomTom team for getting some of that Chinese money. Citrix has shipped a patch for its VPN vulnerability, and hundreds of U.S. government agencies have vulnerable VPNs. So on January 19th, Citrix released some permanent fixes to a vulnerability on the company's Citrix Application Delivery Controller, ADC, and Citrix Gateway Virtual Private Network servers that allowed an attacker to remotely execute code on the gateway without needing a login. The vulnerability affects tens of thousands of known VPN servers, including at least 260 VPN servers associated with U.S. federal, state, and local agencies, including at least one site operated by the U.S. Army. Patches are there and more are coming. So a link will be up in the show notes. Boeing, they're seeking a $10 billion loan as their 737 MAX crisis continues. Looks like they've got another software problem that they found this past Friday. So the company has secured about $6 billion from banks so far and is talking to other lenders for more contributions. I think this is a good bet by the banks. And I don't think Boeing is, Boeing is one of those companies that's almost too big to fail. But Boeing's debt load has increased substantially over the past year. They had $20.3 billion in long-term debt as September of 2019, nearly doubled the $10.7 long-term debt it had on December 20, 2018. And Boeing added less than $1 billion in long-term debt in all of 2017. So, of course, it's from revenue drops, big revenue drops. Down from 25.1 billion year over year of 20 billion down from 20.5, so 5 billion down. So we'll see what happens with this. But boy, this is going to be an aircraft that they are not going to soon forget giving them issues. For those of you that live in the UK, you're going to be happy to know that government officials lost over 1,000 electronic gizmos, specifically in London and London consuls. Now, I don't know what a London consul is. I know it's some sort of government agency, and they lost over 1,000 devices last year. So your taxpayer dollars at work. Microsoft is suggesting to 400 million users to get a new PC. With Microsoft Windows 7 support ending this past January 14th, they've been very, very aggressively advertising that when people go to a Windows 7 website on Microsoft, off basically tell them they need to buy a new Surface laptop to be more efficient in running Windows 10. I don't know about more efficient. The first all-woman Mars analog crew, that's how they wrote it up here. The first all-woman Mars analog crew just returned to Earth in Hawaii. They've been in the high seas habitat. That is the name for the Hawaii Space Exploration Analog and Simulation. It's a Mars base for human researchers that sits on a remote slope of Mauna Loa volcano. On January 4th, at about 4 p.m. local, they went into the habitat and returned out on the 18th. I think it was 10 women. This was the first all-female mission. And the results of that is, let me count here, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. I think it's only 7 women. But anyway, more information on that link will be up in the show notes. Following an international operation, the FBI seized and shut down a website called WikiLeaks.info that sold private user data from over 10,000 data breaches. So as part of the operation, police in the Netherlands and North Ireland arrested two 22-year-olds to believe be connected to the site. Meanwhile, the FBI, working in coordination with police forces in Europe, took down the domain for the site and redirected it to a seizure notice. WikiLeaks.info claimed to have over 12 billion usernames and passwords siphoned from around 10,300 breaches at various companies. The site offered access to all the info via subscription starting as little as $2. Hey, they made a lot of money for the $2. Really? Was that worth going to jail for? Please. Over on the BBC, they got a pretty good minute 31 clip video, quick video that looks like a native ad. You know, when I see something where, okay, so for example, Amazon has had nothing but bad press about their warehouses. So this minute 31 second clip by the BBC, oh, the workers are happy. We love working here. There's no problems. Da, 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 da. It's a joy. We get to talk while we work. We're not, you know, they don't tape our mouths shut. It's really, if you watch this video, and I'm encouraging all of you, go to this link. It to me looks like BBC got paid to do a native ad. When I see something that has got all this, all joy and everything's good here, and it's the most modern building and shows the robots running around, show people taping up boxes and putting products in. When I see, and everyone's happy, no one's happy working in a place like that. Yeah, it's a job. Not denying it. But to be all joyful and really excited, to me, it smells and stinks like someone paid the BBC to do this piece. It's entitled Inside One of Europe's Most High-Tech Buildings. Link will be in the show notes. Please go watch it. And then keep in mind what I've just told you, that it's a native ad. This isn't a make-you-feel-good story. This is Amazon paying for a piece on the BBC to try to overcome some of the negativity that they've received from their warehouses. If you watch it, tell me if you don't think it isn't a native ad. We have to watch. We have to be careful. There's lots of this stuff out there. Not saying the BBC have never taken money for a native ad, but it sure looks, you know, hey, BBC, we're spending $5 million a month with you advertising on your website. We sure love to have you come over and do a piece on our warehouse. Wink, wink, wink. Right? It may not be pay for play, but it's like, you know, implied, right? What do you think? You think this is possible? How many of you use Instagram? I'm not hardly on Instagram at all. I think to check it once in a while because my daughter posts pictures of my granddaughter on there. That's about the only thing I go looking for, because she, some stuff she posts on Facebook and she never sends them direct to me. I have to go to Instagram and get them. So Instagram is dropping the annoying IGTV button. I didn't even know it existed. I didn't even know that was a thing. So apparently it's a shortcut button from the top right of the app that basically takes you to a place where you could submit videos like you do on YouTube. Okay. I didn't even know. So if you are an IGTV user, that button's going away from Instagram. Now, in a good story on the BBC, one that I can truly believe is an actual human interest story, a dad has built a Nintendo game controller for his disabled daughter. So she has something called hereditary spastic paraplegia, which affects her motor control and speech. And he was able to build the device with two joysticks, an arcade-style game flashing buttons hooked up to a Microsoft Xbox. He said the controller was built in a weekend after some serious soldering and wire management, but he came up with something she can use. And when you see this, it's really cool. He did a great job. I mean, this is some serious, serious, cool dad cred, geek cred stuff. I look at this and I'm like, awesome. Really, really awesome. He describes himself as a bit of a tinkerer. And so this is pretty awesome. And you got to check this out. Link will be up in the show notes just to make you feel good. This is a papa that did well. Samsung has appointed Rotamoon as its new smartphone CEO. DJ Call is out just ahead of the Samsung Galaxy S20 launch. I didn't get any feedback. What new Android phone that's about a year old, so I don't have to pay the premium of a new phone, which Android phone should I buy? Do we have Android listeners here? Should I get a used Pixel? Should I get an S9 or what should I buy? Let me know. All right. Which phone I should pick up? LastPass. Did you have problems with LastPass? I didn't have problems with LastPass. I used it, but apparently LastPass customers were having trouble getting into LastPass. They had a 2 or 3 day kind of wonky outage where people couldn't get to their password. And that can be frustrating, especially if you make passwords like I do that are all like AGKL*W8E9101, you know, and rely on LastPass to unlock websites. So apparently people are having troubles and people are really pissed off. And so anyway, they were out of action. Some people could not get in. And they said, we're aware, an active investigating reports from a few LastPass customers from over the weekend who were experiencing issues and receiving errors when attempting to log in. At this time, we believe this is an isolated issue with limited impact and engineers working to resolve the issue. And then they came back later and said, after a thorough investigation, we determined it was a result of a bug, and a recent release and was limited to a very small set of users. This has been resolved and all services are now functional. So, a bug strike. All right, forget NFC. Amazon wants you to pay in stores with your hand. And you basically wave your hand over a system and somehow it scans you. Just more information to give to Amazon. It never ends. Link will be up in the show notes on that. What else we got here? 12 best wireless workout headphones in 2020. Let's see here. What are someone's? Oh, some of these are expensive. The Soundcore Spirit X, $36. Good price. Bose Sound Quality Wireless, $129 Amazon. I like Bose Wireless. I must admit, I'm a fan. I am not a fan of Jabra. I've had problems with Jabra before. So anyway, Aukey has one for $40 at Amazon. That looks like a viable deal. I like Aukey's product. But anyway, if you're looking for a new set of workout headphones, my advice is I've had expensive ones and I've had cheap ones. They're not going to last forever. You're sweating on them. They get jerked. They're going to get broke. So don't go too expensive. Buy something that's relatively in a good price range. You know, $40 is a good deal. That'll probably last you a year. If you're unlike me that tears stuff up, like, you know, I'm the worst on headphones. I've been lucky these. I only wear these during the show and then I hang them up and they last. But I'm still getting jerked and getting caught on getting caught on stuff all the time. Even I just use them here. So these are wired. So just buy the cheap ones. All right. So they do have some Android suggestions on Android Central and best phones to buy under $300. So best overall is the Moto G7 or the Samsung Galaxy A50. I guess I'm going to have to take a walkthrough and look at these phones and see which one, being that you guys haven't suggested one. So under $300 sounds about the right price range for me. I don't want to buy something too expensive. I just need a phone to test Android stuff out and Google Podcast and that kind of stuff. So anyway, but you guys can check that out. If you, again, have a suggestion, great. All right, that can get me to the end here. Some of you hung out to the end. Thanks so much for staying on Facebook. If you're still here, still watching, make sure you stay high. And Lee, thanks for checking in. And Lee, you're definitely not 10 minutes away, but I think you're about 2 hours, probably 2 hours, 10, something like that. Because I know how long it takes me an hour to get to Toledo. So if I go to DTW, that's just about an hour 45 for me. So yeah, we're closer, but I'm going to be over in Detroit a few times. I've got some events to attend over there. I'm speaking over there, a couple things too. So I'll let you know when I'm in the area, maybe we can grab lunch, grab a beer or something if it's after presentations. But for the rest of you, again, I'll be in Los Angeles right on the Valentine's Day weekend. That's, yeah, they were real smart in building that event. And then I'll be in Houston the following weekend. So if you're in Houston, let me know. Maybe we can do an evening meetup or something to that effect. And then, of course, down in Orlando for PodFest, I think it's the weekend of March 4th or something to that effect. But anyway, three cities in relative short order. I really don't know what my schedule is beyond that. I'm going to be going somewhere, obviously. But anyway, that's what's in the travel plans here over the next month and a half or so. But anyway, I'm here doing the live show. There's going to be no interruption. Again, the next week will be in Columbus, following week back here in Michigan. And then, again, a show on the 10th before I head out to L.A. So, should be good. And look forward to be back here Thursday with you. Hey, do not forget about our sponsor, GoDaddy. And I do want to make a mention also as well. If you are an insider, I truly, 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 truly appreciate your ongoing donations. Some of you have been hardcore. You've been an insider for many, many years. And you know, if you listen to the No Agenda show, they're real hardcore on non-donators. They have this audio thing where they call people out, and I'm not even going to say what they say because it's going to offend some of you. Well, what a No Agenda says to people that don't donate, their listeners call other listeners douchebags. I'm not saying anybody's that. I know we all have our own reasons for donating to a show. But we need some sort of jingle. We need to come up with some sort of jingle I can play for any time there's a new insider donator that comes into the show and starts donating. We don't have the scale of No Agenda where they're, you know, I think they got about $5,000 or $6,000 in donations for their 1,200th episode. It was really incredible. If I ever had $5,000 or $6,000 that came in donations for a single show, I think they would have to call an ambulance and paddle me. But, you know, $2 gets you started. 6.7 cents a day. GeekNewsCentral.com/insider is the place. And if you value the show at all, we appreciate you, appreciate your donation. I want to thank you. And again, I understand not everyone can, and it's okay as well. All right. So going to get out of here. Everybody, thanks for watching and listening. And we'll see you Thursday. GeekNews@gmail.com if you want to smash on me. And how do you think the show's been going? You know, it's between two different locations. So it's a little different flavor every place I'm at. I do feel more comfortable being here in the studio in Coldwater and doing the show. But it feels like I'm a ping pong ball. You know, and we're going to work on the studio down in Columbus to kind of replicate some of the things. And I've got a quote now for the audio conditioning. I think my board of directors is going to choke on it a little bit when they see the quote. But I'm going to try to get that through, and it may not happen in the first or second quarter, but, you know, we'll try to plan it in the budget. But I sure do love what has been done here and where we're at, and it's just, it's really, really geeky in the studio. If you're ever in the area, if you ever want to stop in and see the studio, or you're close to Southern Michigan, let me know, and I'm here Monday through Friday and sometimes all day Saturday when I'm in Michigan. So feel free, and I can arrange to hang out. We can go have some lunch as well. But everyone, thanks for being part of the Ohana here. Everyone take care. We'll see you next time on the Geek News Center podcast. Everyone take care. Be safe out there. Keep warm, because it's definitely not insignificantly. Yeah, it's cold. All right, everyone, take care. We'll see you next time here on the Geek News Central Podcast. Take care. Bye-bye.